It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the charitable organization behind Milwaukee Public Schools as the foundation gets a new leader. And we explore the philanthropic work these foundations do and the projects they take on that are not achievable through a district's annual budget. Call in with your questions about how school foundations operate and what they raise money for and why. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tiffany Tardy is executive director of the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation. Tiffany, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you this morning.
So why do taxpayer-funded schools need charitable foundations?
Well, that's a great question. The foundations have become more and more accessible, and you're seeing them happen and pop up across the state of Wisconsin as well as across the country over the last several years. In history, you probably would have seen that more with private schools or with universities. But these days, with public schools and funding being less and less from our state budgets, we're relying more on foundations because we're able to then help support our public school education with raising additional dollars from our community, with being able to, support some of those different projects across the district that perhaps cannot be funded through the budget.
We're going to get into some of those projects in just a moment, but if you could help us make a distinction, how do foundations like yours differ from the fundraising and charitable efforts of PTAs, parent-teacher associations?
Right. So the PTAs are really looking at their specific school and where their kids go to school. And they're doing great work because they're doing similar work. So I think the communication between the PTAs and the school foundations is important, but the foundation really is able to serve across the district and being able to serve the different priorities across schools, as well as within kind of the strategic priorities of the district, and being able to support project infrastructure, enrichment, all those different pieces. So we're able to have more of a strategic approach across the community and looking at the district-wide efforts and being able to then move the community forward.
But I hear you saying that you're listening to PTAs, you're having relationships with them because they really understand the issues more at the school-based level, at that more micro level, if you will.
That's absolutely right. And they're so critical and important because, many of those ideas are stemming from the PTAs because they have that pulse on what's happening in the schools and what the true needs are of the kids in the schools and the, teachers and administrators in the schools.
So looking back over your career for the past 15 years, you focused your work on higher ed. Why move to an organization, a nonprofit that works with younger students?
Yes, great question. So yes, my background is in higher education. And so I've been able to see, the sort of through college pipeline, but the things that happen in college, directly relate to what happens in K-12 education. And so this opportunity, I think, allows me to have a greater impact on the, public schools education here in the city of Milwaukee, and being able to make sure that those access and resources are available to students, then that, directly impacts what happens post K-12 into higher education or industry or career. So for me, this role allows me to have, I think, greater impacts and really kind of going backwards in the pipeline, knowing that if we can really focus our time and energy in K-12, then that's what leads to our future.
Talking about school funding with Tiffany Tardy, a new leader of the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation, looking at what these types of charitable organizations can provide that the district budget cannot. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tiffany, let's look more closely at some of the projects. In 2019, the foundation had received nearly $1.7 million in contributions and in grants. Where is that money needed most for Milwaukee schools?
Yes, great question. Well, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the pandemic and the impact of the pandemic on all schools and all education, but the direct hit on public schools. So I think there was a major focus over the last several years with the Connect Milwaukee initiative, trying to make sure that all of our students were able to have access to internet, access to online school so that they could continue to keep up with their education and academic curriculum. So a lot of those dollars were committed to making sure our kids and families were connected, as well as making sure that, there was still access to basic needs like meals and things of that nature. And really, I think the foundation is also, even in the midst of kind of some of those additional needs, really has been focusing on projects that relate to kind of infrastructure. So thinking about our play fields and play yards, we have our Green Schools initiative that focuses on being able to beautify those playgrounds and provide outdoor classroom spaces, greenhouses at some of our schools, creating those opportunities for kids to be able to learn outdoors, as well as being able to have that safe and positive experience for the community around the schools. So that's been a really strong initiative for the foundation over the last several years. Last year, we were able to raise $330,000 on behalf of the schools to revitalize five different playgrounds, which has been amazing to see. And then additionally, we're able to then help support some of the different efforts throughout schools. So raising dollars for school supplies and being able to support teachers and some of the needs in the classrooms. And then also some of those more career focused things like our STEM fair that we've been able to host, which is something that's a really cool effort because it's bringing together students across the different high school or schools in the district, as well as then our community members and corporate leaders being able to really, focus that energy on kids who are interested in STEM. And then I would say we another example of that is what's something that's coming up in April is our Unsoul World Fair, which is like close to 3,000 kids that we've been able to support with their projects and bringing it. It's just a beautiful experience of being able to celebrate different cultures and different backgrounds and helping students having more of that worldview. And then the final piece I would note is around our scholarships. And so still being able to, focus on what's happening within the district, but then also thinking about future, talent pipeline and workforce for our kids. And so raising nearly $300,000 over the last year, which is a foundation record, directly for student scholarships for going on to higher education. So a lot of really, I think, cool and great things going on in the district to one, help fill in gaps, but then to also really make sure that kids are having, essential enrichment opportunities, across the district. And, they're just such amazing kids and just making sure that they have equitable access to resources, and for the things that they need.
I want to touch on, elaborate on that last piece you mentioned about scholarships, because the application period for more than 20 college scholarships from the foundation, it closes soon, next week. What is the hardest part about giving away these scholarships? What do you grapple with?
Oh, great question. And scholarships really is a big part of my background, and the work that I've done over the years. And so there's so many different layers to scholarships. And then, starting with honestly, applying to schools, the financial aid process, knowing what you actually need. And so oftentimes, I think some of those concerns or not having the full picture can be challenging for students to then think about applying to scholarships. But I think there's some great work that's being done within the district and the community to really encourage students to apply for scholarships. But then there's also so many different entities that have scholarships within either an institution or throughout the community. And so how do you find those scholarships? Which, those are the online portals. Those can get overwhelming. So I think it's just some of that, like just initial, what am I even supposed to do to apply for a scholarship is some of the challenge. But then also, when you get a scholarship and you know, university costs are also continuing to rise. Oftentimes scholarships are 1 year only, the first year kind of transition to college scholarships. And that can be really challenging as a student enters into their sophomore or junior year. Tuition goes up, you know, the aid that they're receiving goes down as they're losing some scholarships, perhaps. And then they have, you know, much bigger gaps than they anticipated going into their college education. So those are some of the things that that I grapple with, because, you know, you want to make sure that kids have a full understanding of the financial implications of a college education, because, you know, it is quite an undertaking. And when you're an 18-year-old trying to figure out the world, it can become a bit overwhelming.
Tiffany Tardy is the new leader of the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation, and you can call in with questions about how foundations work to fund projects and scholarships, programs for school districts, and what's happening in your own schools through this type of philanthropy. 800-642-1234. You can join in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the new leader of the nonprofit Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation. Tiffany Tardy is here. The organization raises money for the district for scholarships, facilities, special programming, things that fall outside district budgets. Call in with questions and comments about school foundation philanthropy and the impact on your district. 800-642-1234. Tiffany, from your vantage point, how dependent are school districts in Wisconsin on foundations like yours?
Great question. I would say there is a strong dependency, or increasingly strong dependency, on the foundation's work as schools, you know, work to address the additional needs of students in public schools. And so it is becoming just critical, the work of the foundations, because I think it's also the financial support, but being able to be that connector and bridge builder across the community that increases access to opportunities, or increases access to, you know, think about or dream about some of the different projects that we can be doing. Because I think, you know, oftentimes with public schools, it's like, how do we just, you know, educate kids? And thinking about the difference of being in, you know, suburban schools or private schools, where there's the education, the enrichment, the, you know, athletics, the arts. And so many of those things are becoming more difficult to be able to fund, or to be able to have those opportunities for kids in our public schools. And foundations are really able to help, you know, meet those needs. And so I would say that they're becoming more important than ever.
I want to make sure that we are able to dig in here to infrastructure, because you mentioned, you know, some classroom labs, playgrounds, play fields, other types of infrastructure related things. And, you know, Wisconsin schools, they had the highest number of referendums last year in about two decades. You know, many were asking for school renovations and basic maintenance issues with infrastructure and additions. How does your foundation prioritize infrastructure, and how do you look at those types of projects?
Right. Well, and I think we have to, you know, recognize that the, you know, the budget is really trying to address so many things, right? Because there's so many needs in public schools. And so it is difficult to, you know, make decisions around, you know, what things can the district actually, you know, prioritize or fund. Like you said, it's something that, you know, the state is screaming for or asking for, but I think it's just difficult to prioritize that when there's some other, you know, needs that take priority, obviously. So I think that with the foundation, we are really trying to, you know, look at, like you said, schools or, you know, spaces that have, you know, high need, that, and we're trying to think from an equitable lens, right? Of like, what spaces can we, you know, support? And it really does, you know, take the administrators of that particular school, the, you know, the families, the whole community coming together to be able to, you know, make a project go. So I think it's a blend of, you know, what is it that the foundation is able to help, you know, rally the troops around, as well as then what can the schools also do, or, you know, where are the schools that have the, you know, highest need that we can actually help support.
You've mentioned equity a number of times here. I'm wondering, is funding from the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation allocated evenly throughout the district, or how do you look at where you target the funds, you know, whether it is a wealthier area or a low-income neighborhood? How do you grapple with that?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think that with, you know, nearly 80% of our students in the district coming from an economically disadvantaged, you know, background and family, I think it really is, you know, for lack of better round words, you know, the level playing ground, like all of our students have need and all of our schools have need. And so for us, it's really, you know, I think oftentimes projects will come to us from, like, you know, that. So a great example would be Gensland School that I was just visiting yesterday, which is one of our schools in the district that supports a high number of students with special needs and medical needs. And so that school really, you know, is special because they have all of these different ways that they've been able to support kids and, you know, making the different infrastructure changes to adapt to the needs of those kids. And so one of the things that Gensland really wanted was to create a new library space that's, you know, innovative, that, you know, is accessible for their kids. And so their principal and, you know, one of the librarians and then some, you know, some friends, some parents all got together with this idea and just started thinking about, you know, what they could do to make this happen. And so they started, like you think, like we talked about, maybe the PTAs, where they're starting at their school on the ground, trying to make that happen. And then they were able to reach out to the foundation to say, how can you support us in trying to make this happen? And then when we got involved, we were able to then work with, you know, some of the different foundations in the area, Bader Philanthropies, or yes, Bader. And, you know, really be able to kind of help bring the project along. So oftentimes the projects come to us from those, you know, committed folks within the schools.
Talking about the role of outside fundraising in public schools with Tiffany Tardy, the new executive director of the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to the actual raising money component. We heard from Katrina called from Grand Chute to say that they don't really approve of students asking for money for the school. For example, going door to door and selling something. And schools, Katrina says, shouldn't use children like that. Can you talk a bit about the actual fundraising that goes on?
Sure. And I think that we really try to connect with as many, you know, foundations, individuals, MPS, you know, alum, MPS crowd, folks who want to move the city forward, our corporate friends within the community, and thinking about, you know, these different areas of need. And so we really try to have buckets of priorities. So being able to help support enrichment opportunities like, you know, the field trips to the zoo or to, you know, the theater and things of that nature. And then buckets around workforce and how we can support career development in our schools, as well as then, you know, the scholarship buckets, and then those kind of infrastructure buckets that we talked about. So we're really, you know, in the community, and I think telling the stories about what's happening with our kids.
Governor Evers, I'm sorry, I'm going to just jump in here because we only have a few seconds left. But, you know, Governor Evers proposing a $2.6 billion funding increase to K-12 schools in the next budget. What is your message as they craft a budget for school spending?
Absolutely, is that there is there is need, and we would love to have more, you know, support from the state, as there are so many different things that we're trying to accomplish in the district, as well as really just trying to make sure that there's access and equity in all, and that all kids in our community have access to a high quality education. So I would really encourage the prioritization of public schools, because that's how we're going to move our state forward.
Tiffany, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Tiffany Tardy is Executive Director of the Milwaukee Public Schools Foundation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.